little bittersweet. So, I mean, but with my last year here, I guess comes one of my last seemingly biannual classical shows. I mean, wasn't predicting this was going to happen tonight. And I apologize if anyone has found this show over Twitter, in which I stated the first half would be rock. No, that's entirely wrong. I found too much good classical stuff. So I think tonight is going to be entirely Schubert, Liszt, and Sibelius. And notably, most of the time tonight is going to be taken up by Sibelius's epic composition to Culebro. And I'm going to tell you more about that later when that comes up. But first, here's a classic. This is Schubert's Erlkönig. Enjoy. That was Schubert's Erlkönig. Fun fact, Erlkönig is originally a poem written by von Goethe, and it depicts the death of a child assailed by a supernatural being. Yay, fun stuff. So, as stated earlier, we have two really big works tonight. The first one, which we're going to play primarily, is Liszt's Hungaria. This is a symphonic poem by Liszt, written in 1854, did partly on the Hungarian march in the Hungarian style, which he wrote in 1840. So, It of course was premiered in Budapest to raucous applause, and Liszt Ferenc, of course, is Hungarian. I guess, you know, you can describe it as a Hungarian rhapsody of sorts, on certainly a larger scale. It's a great symphonic poem, and I hope you enjoy. So this is Liszt's Hungaria.
Thank you. Pop quiz. Which is more dangerous, alcohol or marijuana? Study after study, the science shows that alcohol causes much more harm to the user and to society than marijuana. So why do colleges punish students more harshly for getting caught with cannabis? Join Students for Sensible Drug Policy and give your college administrators a simple pharmacology 101 lesson. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out if there's a chapter at your school or how to start one.
That was Franz Liszt's symphonic poem, Hungaria. So, up next, we have the piece of the night. So this is Jean Sibelius's Kullervo, and it's drawn off the Finnish national epic Kalevala, and I'd like to talk a little about it. So just let you know, these program notes that I'm adapting off of are not entirely mine. I'm adapting them from those written by Dr. Richard Rodda. So Kaleva, Land of Heroes, is the Finns' ancient poetic name for their country. It was founded, according to legend, by Velnemeuin, or the Eternal Sage, who exerted order over chaos to establish the land centered in Karelia, historically eastern region of Finland, but since the Soviet-Finnish War of 1940, a part of Russia. Tales of Kaleva and Väinämöinen, of the primeval smith Ilmarinen, and the reckless adventurer Lemminkainen, of Louhi, the female ruler of Pohjola, the threatening neighbor to the north, and of the tragic hero Kullervo, forced by fate to be a slave from childhood, had been part of the oral tradition for centuries before the physician and folklorist Elias Lönnrot began collecting and organizing them into a single epic poem into the 1830s. His Kalevala was published in 1835 and appeared in a revised and expanded edition 14 years later. So the Kalevala came to exert a profound influence on Finnish thought, culture, and politics during the late 19th century. It had been controlled by Sweden for six centuries, it became a Grand Duchy of the Russian Empire in 1809. And Swedish, dominant in the developed coastal areas, had long been the language of the nobility, government administration, commerce, arts, and education. Finnish, though spoken by a majority of the population, was relegated to the interior towns, which had little influence on the country's affairs. Despite the surprisingly benign rule of the Alexanders for most of the 19th century, Russia eased financial regulations to encourage economic growth following a disastrous famine in 1866-1868, the Finnish language was given equal legal status with Swedish in 1892. Universal suffrage was granted in 1904, and though the Tsar held effective veto power over the actions of the Finnish parliament, and the Kalevala helped to ignite the formation of the Finland movement, which promoted Finnish language, culture, and ultimately Finnish independence. So Sibelius was essentially the very first composer to be known as a fundamentally Finnish national composer. He studied the Kalevala assiduously when he was studying in Vienna from 1890 to 1891, and he wrote to his fiancée in 1891 that all my moods derive from the Kalevala, and sent her the sketch for a theme for multi-movement symphonic poem for soloist, chorus, and orchestra, inspired by the tragic tale of Kullervo. He'd turned to writing for orchestra earlier that year with an overture and a waltz, and he spent much time on the opening movement of this Kullervo-inspired work that spring. So he was back in Finland by June. He was visiting with people before settling in a coastal town, and he took up Kullervo in earnest, and he met with a singer, absorbing from her rhythms and melodic formulas, expressive inflections, and the power of the authentic language of the Kalevala to guide him in shaping his original themes for the work. So he returned to Helsinki in 1892 and had settled by then on a five-movement programmatic structure for Kullervo that called for a large orchestra, soprano and baritone soloists, and men's chorus. He thought that the overt sexual nature of the third movement might disturb female choristers. He courageously arranged with Kajanus and his orchestra to conduct the premiere himself in April of 1892 and spent the winter writing in a creative frenzy, finishing the massive score. So word spread along Helsinki's music lovers about what the Finnish-speaking critic promised would be a huge native composition. There'd never been anything like it before in Finland. There was one Finnish composer who composed a symphony in 1847, but it was long forgotten. And it had the effect of a volcanic eruption at its premiere, according to Sibelius' student Axel Dernad. Kajanus presented Sibelius with a wreath bearing a blue and white ribbon, which were the colors of the Finnish flag, imprinted with the motto, "That way now will run the future," on the new course cleared and ready, and immediately commissioned him to write another orchestral work. In fact, another performance the following day had to be scheduled to meet public demand. In fact, the acclaim for Kullervo was so high that Sibelius' fiancée's parents actually consent to her marrying the suddenly famous 26-year-old musician. So, Despite the significance of the clairvaux, Sibelius moved quickly beyond the youthful idiom of this and actually forbade publication or further performances of it during his lifetime. So the first performance of it after that was a year after his death, and soon after, nearly a dozen other recordings have appeared, including this one, which was actually done by the London Symphony Orchestra this year. So it's still a very rare piece, but it does give us a very good insight into, you know, Sibelius' early work and Finnish in general. So, about the Kalevala and about Kalervo. So, Andrew Barnett wrote in his 2007 study of Sibelius, "In the Kalevala, Kalervo is a tragic and most unfortunate figure. Even before he's born, his uncle Untamo attacks his clan. Believing that Untamo has killed everyone except his mother, the young Kalervo grows up desiring revenge, but his attempts to frustrate Untamo only result in his being sold as a slave to the smith Ilmarinen. He's set to work as a herdsman, but after becoming involved in the deaths of Ilmarinen's wife, he escapes and is reunited with his mother. Kalervo's attempts to work for his family fail, and so he's sent to deliver their taxes. On his way home, he meets and ravishes a girl who turns out to be his long-lost sister. His mother persuades him not to kill himself. Instead, he goes to war against his uncle, and with a splendid new sword granted to him by Ukko, chief of the gods, he slaughters Untamo's entire tribe. By the time he returns home, however, all of his family is dead. Wandering in the forest, he chances upon the place where he ravishes his sister, and consumed by his guilt, he throws himself upon his sword." So, the five movements of Sibelius' work evoke crucial moments in Kalervo's life. They're called Introduction, Kalervo's Youth, Kalervo and his Sister, Kalervo Goes to War, and Kalervo's Death. So, the introduction is in sonata form, and it sets the mythic mood and paints his impetuous character in broad strokes. There's a main theme, announced by clarinet and horns, and this recalls the modal melodic leadings of Finnish folk song. The second theme comprises two motives, a close interval long note melody first chanted softly by the horns, and a strain in broad triplet rhythms introduced by the strings. The development section begins with the clarinet's recall of the main theme, which is varied and woven together with the broad triplet rhythms of the second subject to reflect different aspects of Kalervo's personality. After the development reaches its climax with a chain of stentorian chords and brass, the music becomes hushed, waiting for the clarinet to sing again, the theme of Kalervo to begin the recapitulation. The close interval second theme is sounded by the horns, and the motive in broad triplet rhythms is treated with added weight and breath before the winds, and then the full orchestra proclaim Kalervo's theme in the coda. The movement ends with quiet, isolated chords, separated by long, expectant silences, as though preparing for the curtain to rise on the drama that follows. Sibelius described Kalervo's youth as a lullaby with variations which increase in emotional intensity. The opening theme's dark coloring, closely bound intervals, and insistent pulsing portray Kalervo as a brooding child whose tragic fate was set even before his birth, though the varied, expansive returns of the music later in the movement suggests more vigorous and assured aspects of his childhood. The two intervening episodes, with their shepherd's pipe melody and drone-like bass, may be the remains of a movement titled Kalervo as Herdsman that submitted for the work but eventually abandoned. Kalervo and his Sister, the third movement, is the crucial incident in the title character's life and the expressive heart of Sibelius' work. There's a male chorus, a Nordic analog to the narrating chorus of Greek drama, and that talks of Kalervo's paternity and his winter journey to pay the family's taxes. He tries to seduce one maiden and then a second, but is rejected by both. His blood up, he takes a third maiden by force. When they share their stories before parting, Kalervo is appalled to realize that he has raped his own sister, whom he thought long dead. Sibelius distilled the searing emotions of this fateful encounter into music of expressive immediacy and distinctive national character. Sibelius set Kalervo Goes to War for orchestra alone, but prefaced it with a verse from the Kalevala explaining its subject. "Kalervo, son of Kalervo, old man's son in blue stockings, went off piping to the war, went rejoicing to the battle. He sang and piped on marsh and moor, high hallowing on the heather, quaking, shaking grassings, booming over stump and stubble." The music, almost cinematic in its brilliant storing and forceful energy, suggests Kalervo's swagger and his ultimate victory over his murderous uncle. Kalervo's death, the final movement, begins with a dreamlike summoning of the chorus as fragments of earlier themes rise from the orchestral. The chorus recounts how Kalervo returns to the place of the seduction, how he determines to die a warrior's death by falling on his own sword, and how, accompanied by music of almost elemental power, he commits his final act. The theme that opened the work returns as a fanfare of apotheosis, Sibelius' musical symbol that the fated Kalervo had found redemption through repentance and death. So that's a little bit on the Kalevala and on Sibelius' work Kalervo. So, with that in mind, I hope that you enjoy this. So this is John Sibelius' Kalervo Opus 7 in full. Enjoy. This is DJ Krista. You're listening to the Rainbow Theorem on 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tuts Freeform Radio. This is currently Sibelius's Kullervo.